You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Psychological impact on the population here and the aid workers. You know, there were further tremors this morning around 3 a.m. and half of our team actually went and slept outside on the grass because they were just too scared to sleep indoors.
She spoke to Sky News. People in small towns are being evacuated because buildings are in danger of falling. President Obama has welcomed Saudi Arabian leaders to the White House for discussions on Iran. Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Nayef says the kingdom values its close ties with America.
This historic relationship we seek to strengthen and broaden and deepen it with time.
Yemen will also be discussed. The Saudi officials are representing the kingdom after King Salman announced that he would not make the trip. This is USA Headline News.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-479-2697.
Deepwater drilling is set to resume near the site of the catastrophic BP well blowout. AP correspondent Sandy Kozel reports.
That explosion 5 years ago killed 11 workers and caused the nation's largest offshore oil spill off the coast of Louisiana. According to federal records reviewed by the Associated Press, a Louisiana-based oil company, LLOG Exploration Offshore, plans to drill into the Macondo Reservoir near BP's ill-fated well blowout. A vice president of the company says their commitment is to not allow such an event to occur again. The permit for a new well was approved a month ago by the Bureau of Safety and Environmental Enforcement, an agency overseeing offshore drilling operations. I'm Sandy Kozel.
The European Union is asking member countries to show solidarity with partners bearing the brunt of the migration wave in the Mediterranean, and it's warning that it plans to enforce asylum rules. The EU has unveiled a plan today to eventually require 28 countries to share migrants. Meanwhile, Turkey's state-run news agency says six children and a woman have frozen to death while trying to cross illegally into Turkey from Iran during sleet and freezing rain. South Korean analysts are split on whether an alleged bloody purge in North Korea is signaling strength or weakness from leader Kim Jong-un. South Korea's spy agency says the ruler had his defense chief executed for complaining, talking back, and sleeping during a meeting. Kim Jong-un took power after his father's 2011 death. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Welcome to Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. It's about 3:05 already on May 13th. I hope you're having a great day. I'm in studio today with Colleen Kelly, my business partner over at Mariah Media and JMPR. And we are so excited about our guest in studio today. He is author Ken Kamen of the book Reclaim Your Nest Egg. And we're going to talk to him about taking control of your financial future right after we go to the weather real quick. You may recognize his name because he's all over the media, Fox, CNBC, Wall Street Journal. He's just the go-to guy on money. So stay with us. For now, this afternoon, partly sunny with a high near 66. Tonight, mostly clear with a low about 42 degrees. Thursday, sunny all day with a high near 70. And then Thursday night, mostly clear with a low about 46. Friday, sunny again all day with a high of 73, and then a chance of showers, mostly cloudy, about 57 on Friday night. Saturday, chance of showers continuing, mostly cloudy, the high of 78, and then Saturday night, a low about 61. Sunday, same thing, chance of showers, partly sunny with a high of 78, and then mostly cloudy with a low about 58, and then partly sunny on Monday with a high of 73. So, here we are. Welcome to the studio, Ken.
Great to be here.
It's great to have you here. We're so excited to talk to you today. And Colleen, it's nice
Hello.
To see you. Always great to have my co-host with me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Ken for a second. Ken came in here. He's a frequent guest, as I mentioned, on CNBC and the Fox Business Channel, as well as numerous regional and national radio and television programs. He's often quoted in publications such as the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and is the contributor to NBR, .com, CNBC.com, Forbes.com, and so on. So he has been a speaker. He's a lecturer at colleges and universities. And he's also spoken and represented many banking forums, and including the Senate. Can you tell us a little bit about what you've been doing and how you became the author of Reclaim Your Nest Egg, Ken?
How I became the author of Reclaim Your Nest Egg is kind of a crazy story. I was doing a television show a long time ago, and someone said, "Do you have a book?" And I said, "No, I don't have a book." And they said, "You should write a book." And I went home and said, "Maybe I should write a book." So I wrote a book, and it led to more media and all those nice accolades you gave me.
So. There are a lot of nice accolades there, by the way. Very, very distinguishable accolades. And, you know, it is nice, that including the fact that you were published by Wiley, which is that's an accomplishment in itself.
Yeah, it was a Bloomberg imprint. It was mm-hmm. Bloomberg for Wiley, yeah.
You can't go much higher than that. And so tell us about the book. What's the book about?
Reclaim Your Nest Egg is about people's financial lives. You know, the concept of reclaim, everyone kind of looks at that title and thinks it's about getting your money back. And certainly after 2008 and the market meltdown, that was very much on people's mind. How do I claw back? But the real meaning behind the name Reclaim Your Nest Egg is to reclaim the control and the power over your money. You know, human nature is such that when you don't believe you have control of something, you kind of leave it to the gods. You leave it to the fates. You don't take control of it. Then there are so many things about your financial life and your personal lives that you don't know about the future. Mostly nothing about the future we know, but certainly when it comes to your finances, you know, what the market's going to be, what the economy is going to be, what your health is going to be, what your needs are going to be, what your situation is going to be. So being there's so much unknown, people have a way of just saying it'll just work out. Reclaim is the concept of there's a lot of things you can know. There's a lot of things that if you put the time and effort into just thinking about, you know, your future, we're all human beings and we have very common kind of situations. Now, your individual situation is as unique as your fingerprint, but the themes that run through people's financial lives are recurring and have been recurring for eons and eons. So the idea of reclaim is to take back control of the things that you have the ability to know about, because if you can cut the variables down, it certainly makes, you know, future planning a lot easier and a lot less stressful.
So true. And well, what I'd like to say, and one of the things that has made you so popular over the years, is your ability to speak to all the different levels of, you know, education and knowledge on the money and the marketplaces and everything, right? So tell us a little bit about some, like you say, of these, you know, we're as individual as our, you know, fingerprint, but then again, you see the same things happening all the time. So can you tell us a couple examples of some of those just basic things that you see all the time?
Well, we're all following, you know, dealing with the same angst. You know, we go to work every day. We're making a living to facilitate our lives. I'm a firm believer in that you work to facilitate your life, not the other way around. But the goal of driving your car or taking the train to your place of employment every day is so you have enough money to live your life and then hopefully take care of yourself in the future and have a nest egg to take care of unexpected types of things. So that's the angst that runs through all of us, this idea of, you know, the push and pull between current needs, current wants, future needs, and hopefully future wants. Unfortunately, so many people in America are now relegated to their financial future of just dealing with needs because they're so far behind the eight ball in savings. There are so many people in our country where it's just all too common that they have too much month left at the end of their check instead of too much check left at the end of their month. And I try to address that in the book, and I try to talk to people about that because, you know, again, getting hold of these issues, thinking about money in a more holistic way, in a more integrated way with your life, is really the key to financial success. One of the things that I'm so disappointed about my profession, Wall Street in particular, is the industry has done this amazing disservice to the public by overcomplicating things, by making it sound like this is all just so spectacularly complicated that you need to hire Harvard PhDs to do it for you, and that you have no chance of getting it right on your own. So come to us so we could charge you exorbitant fees to do things that maybe you could do on your own. Maybe you can't. It's really a function of time, whether you have the time to do it. So when you said to me before about, you know, using plain English to discuss things, it's really just trying to demystify Wall Street speak, because Wall Street speak is designed to justify the fees a lot of people charge, not necessarily the service they provide.
Well, I know that even when I hear the word index, I don't know why. I just go, like, when people hear grant writing, they get freaked out, or like in our world, press release is simple, but people think it's so complicated. So I get what you're talking about. Let's hear a little bit. When you just mentioned a minute ago about demystifying and how important it is, there is also an element, though, of the internet now. I want to ask two or so questions. One about the do-it-yourself world.
Sure.
And then I also want to ask you, when you were talking about how there's so many people out there right now that are put against the month end and so on, because of technology, like what we see in the last 5-10 years of curing of cancer and everything, people are living so much longer. So what, in your, you know, spot when you're sitting there with these clients and new clients, what are you seeing? Because I can see where they always thought they were going to be passing away at 60, and now it's like 100. I mean, that has to really mess up someone's planning.
So what I try to reinforce to people is something that's so kind of alien to the way we think, which is you are more likely to outlive your money than to squander it away from spending or making a bad investment. It's interesting. Human nature is that collectively, we could all envision this idea that we're living longer as a society. All the actuarial tables tell us that. Everyone in our neighborhoods are telling us that. We're all dealing with, you know, parents and grandparents that are living well longer than, you know, our grandparents in previous generations have. So we have no problem buying into this collective idea that we as a group are living longer. But when you actually drill down to individuals, individuals don't see that necessarily for themselves. It's just very interesting that, you know, they'll say, yeah, here's my medical history, or my father or my grandfather passed away at a young age, so I'm going to spend it before I, you know, lose it or can't use it. And it's interesting how many people outlive that game plan. So one of the number one things that I think we need to really get people to realize is that the good news is you're going to live a long time. The bad news is you're going to live a long time. And you need to deal with that, because when you really think about it, if you take, you know, someone coming out of college in their, you know, young or mid-20s, and they work for the next 40 years of their life, let's say in the traditional sense, to age 65. Mm-hmm. So they're going to work 40 years, but there's a good chance that they're going to live another 30, potentially 40 years after that. Right now in America, there's a better than 80% chance that a healthy married couple, well, it doesn't have to be married, but a healthy couple that are 65 years old today that haven't been diagnosed with cancer or heart disease already, will, one of them will live to age 90, which means that you need to have savings to carry you or the people you're responsible for potentially 25 years past your working years. Well, when you think about it, if you're going to spend 40 years in the workforce and have potentially 25 years that you need to save for and finance
yourself.
It's very, very daunting because we're past the point of being able to do that without some sort of planning. And I'm not saying that you necessarily have to go out and engage someone like myself and do elaborate financial plan. And for a lot of people, that might not even be appropriate. But it is something you need to consider. We're becoming more and more a society that lives for the day at its own peril. So I want to be clear that I'm not saying that you shouldn't enjoy yourself and that you should be denying yourself things. But the reality of it is you're going to take one third of your life working, and it's going to need to fund potentially another full third. So that's an important thing people need to keep in mind, and something that, you know, people don't want to think about, because the old model used to be, think about your grandparents or your grandparents' parents. They would work to 65, retire to some golf community in Florida if they were lucky, live for 7 years playing golf, and that was it.
And they had a pension.
And they had a pension. Very good point. Mm-hmm. But when if you're looking about working 40 years to finance 7 years, golf is great, and a lot of cruises and a lot of trips to Europe are wonderful. But that's not necessary to the situation today. And those are the ideas in this kind of reclaim concept, which is it's okay. You don't need to get freaked out about it. You just need to have it on your radar screen and plan for it. And the earlier you plan for it, the better off you're going to be. But I would like to, before we leave that topic, say that it's not despair if you haven't built a nest egg for your retirement. Studies show that most retirement savings happen in America when people are of age 55 to 65. So it's a lot of times it's great to save and invest in earlier years than that. But don't be discouraged if you're, you know, 50s and you haven't really
I've never
done
heard
it.
That before. I really talk about that for we'll get back with the break.
Sure.
Just
absolutely.
For a minute or two, because I've never heard that before, and it's
sure.
interesting. All right, this is Talented People. As you expect from us, the best. We have our celebrity author in studio. Ken came in today from Reclaim Your Nest Egg. Colleen Kelly co-hosting. She doesn't have a word to say yet, but she's going to do it when we get back from the break. Thanks. Stay with us.
Hello, this is psychic medium Trish Woods with the program Afterlife Real Life that airs every Thursday from 1 to 3 p.m. My co-host is psychic medium Jane Davidson from the United Kingdom. We have listeners and callers from all over the world. We're looking forward to hearing what you want to know about with metaphysics, spirituality, personal spirit experiences, psychic work, and more. From 1 to 3 p.m. every Thursday, you can call in or tune in, asking Jane and I your questions, your personal ideas, and maybe getting help with your own personal life. Afterlife Real Life, every Thursday, 1 to 3 p.m.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is a Forward New Jersey Coalition member.
London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down.
In August 2007, the I-35 bridge in Minneapolis collapsed, killing 13 people and injuring 145, including little children trapped on a school bus. The bridge had been rated structurally deficient, but those warnings were ignored.
Build it up with iron and steel, iron and steel, iron.
In New Jersey, there are 479 bridges carrying over 8 million vehicles a day, rated worse.
Iron and steel will bend and bow, bend and bow, bend.
These aren't just bridges waiting to be fixed. They're tragedies waiting to happen. On June 30th, the state's transportation fund will be empty. We need to replenish it now, because next time, it could be your family on that bridge. Go to forwardnewjersey.com and find out how you can help. Paid for by Forward New Jersey.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to hold its second annual Hunterdon County Community Day on Saturday, June 13th from 12:30 to 6:30 at the Hunterdon County Fairgrounds in Ringo's. We thank our presenting sponsor, Hunterdon Healthcare, and the Hunterdon County Freeholders. Come get involved, be a vendor, an exhibitor, if you're a business or an organization. Come get before thousands of folks on this great day. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org. Once again, join us on Hunterdon County Community Day, Saturday, June 13th. Get involved with your community today.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HunterdonChamberRadio.com app today.
All right, welcome back to Talented People. Thanks so much for listening in. We appreciate it. We hope you had a great week since last week as well. Our guest today in studio is Ken Kamen. He's the author of the book Reclaim Your Nest Egg. You might see him or recognize his name. He's featured all the time on prominent news medias like CNBC, Fox, and so on. And he's here in studio at the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce radio station, streaming live across the nation. Thanks for listening in again. And Ken, thanks for being here. Let's go back to what we were talking about before the break, where you were mentioning that, you know, there is a large percentage of people who all of a sudden around 50 decide that they need to really focus a little bit of time on their management, if it's wealthy or not wealthy at that point, I guess, right?
Yeah, well, it's not that they decide to do it. They've been doing it in their whole lives. Matter of fact, many times people when they reach their 50s are guilty that they don't have more savings. They think they're the only one in the neighborhood that doesn't have savings. The reality of it across America, it's amazing how undersaved and over-lifestyled we are as a society. So a lot of times people think that they're the only ones in it. It's their dirty secret. Being in this business for as long as I have been, I could tell you that it is the overwhelming common situation. So what do people do about that? The reality of it is if you look at the historic numbers on these things, most people do their retirement savings when they're in their 50s. Because before that, prior to reaching the age where kids are getting finished with college, they're done buying their house and their mortgages are winding down. They don't need three cars or two cars anymore, maybe. They're rearing their kids, years are winding down, and it's when they start having discretionary income. And they're also further along in their career, so they're in their peak earning years. Most people are in their peak earning years from 55 to, 62. So it's the perfect pleasant storm of having less to spend on and more income to put away. So historically, that is when most people tend to put away the money they live on for their whole life, while they feel guilty about not doing it while they're 30 to 45. And on the break, Colleen asked me, when do I find that people wake up to the fact that they really need to start taking responsibility for their financial future? And it's a very simple answer. It happens all the time. When they have their first child. That's when the wake-up call that says, okay, now I'm responsible for something more than myself or entertaining myself and my spouse. That this is real and I need to do this.
And you need to plan.
Yeah, and I think that I want to be clear, though, that that's not a free call that you don't have to worry about saving until you're in your 50s. I think when you look at things on the other end of the spectrum, it is vital that young workers do not miss the absolute miraculous benefits of compound interest. And there, I would urge any young listener out there to just Google compound interest, because they're probably going to listen to Google way more than they're going to listen to me, because somehow that thing is is the world's new authority. Mm-hmm. But when you start your new job, if the company offers a 401k plan where they'll match maybe 50 cents of every dollar you put in, I am here to tell you that is the easiest profit on your investment than you'll ever make in your entire life. You know, if the match is 50%, that's a guaranteed 50% you have. If you miss doing that, you're going to miss a huge opportunity to make the later years much more comfortable for you. So while I say on one hand that the actuarial tables will tell you most people do not save until their later years, the younger generation would be hugely blowing it if they don't take advantage of saving in the younger years for the benefits of compounding interest, which we could spend more time talking about or doing another show.
I know, and that's a whole other show. I was curious, in your place again, have you seen any changes in 401k offerings versus the way that pensions went? And then I know they do it. I've had other guests on that talk about the benefits of a 401k plan, you know, to be loyal and offer some benefit to your client, your employees. Are there any changes going on, and should they always go for the highest percentage and match? What do you have any recommendations?
Well, I mean, you raise an interesting question. The issue is the structure of the 401k. Mm-hmm. I think we could sit here and debate, you know, the pros and cons of all the nuances that of the changes and some proposed changes. I actually think they don't matter as it relates to what we're talking about today, mm-hmm. because it's about people taking control of their financial future. Mm-hmm. So whether the company has one plan set up or another plan set up, or your company only contributes 25% of your contribution or 50%, those are still powerful things that you want to contribute to. There's been a lot of changes in 401k rules that make it mandatory for companies to provide education, mm-hmm. and I think that's mm-hmm. very important. Mm-hmm. I think that you need to take advantage of any educational programs that your company might offer. It's the same thing if you start having to take control of your financial future, and they say, okay, great, you're now going to be investing, and we're going to automatically be taking money and putting into your 401k, and you're going to have to do some asset allocations, and you don't know what that's all about. Mm-hmm. It's like someone handing you the keys to a Ferrari and saying, there's the Indy racetrack, go, and it's not going
to
be...
It's totally true.
I used to do HR, and we would pass out all the forms, and everybody would just be like, well, what do I do?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, because all of a sudden, you're going to be handed a portfolio that you're going to be creating, and if you don't have a slight clue what you're going to do, you know, you're going to crash it into the wall. On a quick divergent, one of the things that I think is probably the saddest thing on that concept is... people that get an inheritance, many times their elder parents, or maybe, God forbid, not their elder parents, pass away and leave them, you know, multiple seven figures, but they've never, ever invested in a stock or ran a portfolio on their own in their lives. So all of a sudden, they go from zero to 200 miles an hour, having the responsibility to be a money manager, and it becomes very real. Well, to wheel it back to your question about 401ks, you know, whether you're 21 just starting out in the workforce or you're 65 being ready to retire, you know, you are your own wealth manager, and you need to take advantage of any educational opportunities your company provides. And to your point, Colleen, a lot of people ask about, okay, now I have money in the 401k, what do I do? And that's why things like target date funds have become very, very popular, where you could invest in, you know, a basket of securities, many target date funds. The concept of a target date fund is you invest, let's say you're thinking of you're going to retire in 20 years from now. So the target date fund would be a 2035 target date fund, or 30 years from now, we'd be a 2045 target date fund. And the theory there would be you give it to the fund manager, Fidelity, Vanguard, there's quite a number of them. Check your 401k listing. And they will manage your money on that glide path. If you visualize an airplane glide path coming down to the landing, to that glide path of retirement. I mean, that's kind of a set it and forget it way. I'm not a big fan of target date funds that pick a certain date, because when you're 65 and they hand the money back to you, you don't want them to hand all cash back to you, because then you're missing the ability of having it remain well diversified for the next 25, 30 years you might need it for. So I think there are some things you need to do besides just taking a default target date fund. But if you don't have a clue what you're doing, at least do that. It's a great way to get started and try to understand what those funds might do. So I'd say that's probably the biggest development that really matters to the individual participant, that there are now these types of funds available to kind of put it, quote unquote, on autopilot, mm-hmm. while they figure things out. But they, at their own risk, chance not figuring it out, creating a situation when they get older that would be very unpleasant.
All right, well, let's hold on to that thought for a second, because we're going to go to the news real quick. This is Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy, Colleen Kelly in studios, co-hosting, and our guest today, Ken Kamen, Reclaim Your Nest Egg author and speaker. So stay with us. It's going to be a short break. We're not going to go to the weather because it's optional today, and we're also going to make the news quick so we can get back to our guest. Stay with us.
You
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. The death toll is now at 7 in the deadly Amtrak train crash in Philadelphia. Passenger Jeffrey Cutler says it seemed like the train was going fast around a curve.
I'm not in a position to allege that it was abnormal or unsafe speed, but it did feel fast. And without that speed, I don't think we would have felt that liftoff.
National Transportation Safety Board spokesman Robert Sumwald says the investigators are looking into several factors.
At the track, the train signals, the operation of the train, the mechanical condition of the train, human performance.
The train's black box has been recovered. President Obama welcomes Saudi Arabian leaders to the White House for discussions on Iran. He says the Saudis have been key partners in battling terror groups.
Absolutely critical not only to maintaining stability in the region, but also protecting the American people.
They will also discuss the crisis in Yemen. This is USA Headline News.
Are you putting your money into an IRA, pension, or 401k? Then I hope you're prepared to lose 30, 40, 50% or more of your retirement savings, because it's not a question of if the market crashes again. It's a question of when. It's going to happen. Did you know there is a way you can protect and grow your wealth safely and predictably every single year? The people using this approach didn't lose a penny when the market crashed in 2000 or 2008, and they won't lose a penny in the next crash. In fact, their money will continue to grow safely year in and year out, even when stocks, real estate, and other investments tumble. A free report detailing this savings program is now available. This free report shows how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your retirement in the Wall Street casino. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement. It far outperforms any IRA or 401k. To get this free report, visit bankonyourself.com. That's bankonyourself.com. Bankonyourself.com.
All right, welcome back to Talented People. It's already about 3:31 on May 13th, middle of May already. I can't believe my son's birthday is on the 15th, and it's going to be summer. All right, so anyway, we're talking with our celebrity author in studio, Ken Kamen. He's with the book that he has written is called Reclaim Your Nest Egg, Take Control of Your Financial Future. So, Ken, as being in the media so much and sought after as the money guy, the go-to guy, that leads you into all of your speaking and appearances and so on. And I know you have a number of topics that you like to talk about. Some of the ones that are popular that I want to talk with you about right now are one of them is, why are you the biggest threat to your own financial future? Tell us about that.
Yeah, I did a chapter in my book about what I call head trash. Head trash is the mental landfill we all carry around in our brain of bad ideas about money, things that keep us from doing positive things with money. It might be because you saw your uncle do something that didn't turn out right. It could be because your father turned the bottle of ketchup upside down on another one till the last drop fell out and you realize that you can't risk anything. There's a whole host of reasons why we as human beings have what I call a mental landfill of bad ideas. It's the reason why when, you know, many people buy high and sell low, they want to wait for the market to be on a tear and running high before they finally feel confident enough to invest in it. And then when, you know, as soon as things crack and go down, they're out because they can't handle the volatility. So they wind up buying things while they're running up and selling them when they're going down. And I would say that one concept alone has probably destroyed more financial lives than any other single concept. So in many ways, the most important piece of investment information you need to learn is your own temperament. Really being able to see your investment temperament from the outside looking in. Sometimes the most valuable thing I do for my clients is keep them from jumping off the ledge, because we all come to market environments that scare us. 2008 was very scary. And, you know, psychologically, if you get a week where the market's down 5%, someone could say to themselves, well, another 19 weeks like this and I have no more money left.
You must hear that all the time. I can't even imagine. It's people and their money too, right?
Absolutely. And yes, I do actually. And on the other side too, how people want to go all in and be super aggressive because they're hearing on the news every night that the market's doing great. So they're just trying to jump in and play momentum. So the ground zero of your own financial health is getting control and understanding of your own financial temperament. And I explore that a lot in my public speaking. That's a topic that does come up a lot.
And I know you get a lot of questions and answers at the end, too, because you share so much information, and then there's so much more on, even on this radio station. The same
well, there's
thing
so
happens.
Many questions that, yeah. that people don't know.
But right. Because people see themselves in these issues. What I try to do, certainly in my media appearances, my books, my writings, is to bring the human condition to money. We're all the same. It doesn't matter how much money you have. If you have a 250-foot yacht, or your leisure is going, you know, on a family vacation for one weekend, that's your lifestyle, and you're afraid it's going to go away. So the guy with the 250-foot yacht, he's lying awake at night going, am I going to have the $30,000 a week I'm going to need to put in gas? And the person that goes on one vacation a weekend is going to wonder whether they're going to have the $1,000 to put the vacation. So human nature is the unifying factor of everything to do about money. It has nothing to do with balance sheet size. And that's the thing I try to talk about a lot and make people realize that what they're feeling is being felt by pretty much everybody.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the other topics about your speaking that I'm interested in also, and I think a lot of people out there are as well, are the true stories, you know, about your clients where you talk about walk them off the ledge, you know, what happened to them inheriting all those different topics and true stories. I mean, people want to know about other people because they do relate to them, you know.
Does anybody ever come into your office really mad or really, you know, like have you ever had anybody come in because of what happened in the market and then come back to you and be...
A number of times, you know, we might pick up a new relationship because what I call a last straw event happened with their current financial advisor, something that they didn't want to have happen or an allocation didn't go the way they want. Many times it's not the financial advisor's fault. Maybe it's that the client didn't understand. You know, most times I'll meet someone because they have a life-changing event. Unfortunately, I had a meeting this morning with a prospective client who was telling me about their aging parents, and they're in their 80s, and they have a few million dollars in this particular case. And the thing, the straw that broke the camel's back, is the mother just went out and bought a $400,000 new house because someone that she knows is a real estate agent said it would be a good investment and didn't tell anyone that she was trying to surprise the family with this house, thinking that was a good thing. So there's a situation where they were very disgruntled because they didn't have a control. And it's very unfortunate because one of the problems also is we get older, our cognitive ability about money changes and our ability to make financial decisions. So I see it from the gamut of things. It's not necessarily because their performance elsewhere was bad. It could just be that, as this morning's meeting illustrated, there are things about money that come up that are in many ways, you know, negatively surprising.
Well, probably even when two people are married and a spouse dies and the other one, that was the person that took control of the money, the other person would come in for advice.
I'd love to share a story with you that I wrote about in my book, and you asked about, you know, real life stories. One of the things, we had a client a long time ago that came to us just when we started the Mercadian Asset Management, and this woman was about 78 at the time, and her husband had passed away. He was about 5 years older than her. And he ran all the money. It was like, don't worry your pretty little head about it. I take care of it all. Certainly old school. She had no idea where their assets were. What we needed to do to help her get a hold of her assets was ask her to bring in any piece of mail that had anything to do with finances,
oh my God.
Whether it was a credit card offer, whatever. If it looked like it was financial, bring in, because she knew that they had about $2.5 million with two large, nationally recognized brokerage firms. But she had no idea about the limited partnerships that he was in, some of the real estate deals that he was in. He owned a little piece of a shopping center she didn't know about. It took 3 years, and we found the last piece of money we wound up finding brought it over $4.5 million. And
wow.
I'm convinced that when she passed away 3 years ago, she never believed that we found all the money, because her husband never gave her a roadmap to that. And that's something I'd love us to put out there as a huge cautionary tale. Don't hold your cards too close to the vest. And if you don't feel comfortable talking to loved ones about it, that's fine, but you should write a clear-cut blueprint and leave it in an envelope So someone will be able to know what those things are. And you should leave that sealed envelope maybe with an accountant, an attorney, a trusted advisor, because believe me, there is going to be a lot of aggravation for the people that come behind you if you don't do that. And I think that one of the biggest responsibility of wealth is to make sure that you leave harmony behind, because I've seen all too often how wealth could really drive a wedge in families. And I think it is so important that you take the responsibility to do that. And to not do that is one of the most callous things you could do to your family, actually.
I believe that.
What happens to that money that if she really did pass away and he found the 4.5, but there's 10, what happens to the 5.5 million out there somewhere? Does it just go?
Well, there's all sorts of things. There's this concept of escheatment where things get escheated to the state. It'll get turned over if it gets, you know, and then sometimes someone will call you up. Hey, I just saw in the New York Times, on an announcement where there's 30,000 names listed. You know, they're holding 12 grand for you. That's where that comes from, because someone might have left it, you know, and you don't know anything about. So there are a lot of ways, but the reality of it is
that's a great story, though. It's an important story, but I'm glad that she ended up with more than she thought she had to, even though she didn't find it all to her.
Yeah, but you know,
$4.5 million versus $2.5 million is nice.
Fair enough, but it wasn't great for the four kids they had.
Or the 3 years
that could have had a lot more if they only knew about it.
No,
and if they would have done a lot better estate planning, because the government wound up taking a significant portion because of, you know, poor estate planning.
I like the idea of that, leaving it in an envelope with your accountant or someone. If you don't have an accountant, maybe you leave it with someone.
I'll give you another one with no one thinks about at all.
Let's hear.
How about your digital footprint? If, God forbid, something happened to you today, would your spouse know the passwords for your checking account, your bank account?
That's what I was thinking about while you're talking.
All your, you know, digital footprint? Because now there's a whole new evolving set of law, and I'm not a lawyer, but conceptually there's a whole new concept in law about, you know, preserving your digital footprint and how to pass that along.
And also when you have to change your password every 30 days or so now because of cybersecurity and so on, it's terrifying. What about that real quick where you can do it yourself? Because I did ask you that. And I want to make sure we at least touch on that and go back to the topics, or even about that as a speaking presentation topic. Do it yourself online versus having someone represent you as a wealth, you know, financial manager.
I think that there are a lot of very good do-it-yourself tools out there. There's a whole new movement that's being called robo-advising, like robotic, you know, computer advising. And what they offer is basic asset allocations, and that's probably good for a vast majority of people out there if they have a clue of what it is they're asking. One of the most dangerous things about today's technology is that the question you ask, I call it the Oracle, you know, the all-knowing Google, the question you ask in many ways affects the answers you get. So, for example, if you said, is gold a buy today? It'll take you to search results that are dominated by people that believe gold is a buy, the gold bulls, if you will, because you put the word buy in there. Flip that around, you could ask these essentially the same question and say, is gold a sale today? Which is basically saying, do you want to buy, hold, or sell it? And if you say, is gold a sale today? Should I sell gold? It'll take you to thousands of places and hundreds of chat rooms where everyone there is saying gold is a sale. So it's so important to understand the bias you bring to your questions, and I explore that a lot in my public speaking and in my book, that you, again, this is where you become your own worst enemy when it comes to your financial life. So there are a lot of tools out there that you could use, and the internet has a tremendous amount of them. But like a power tool that you've never seen before, if you plug it in and hit the go button and you have no idea whether the top half or the bottom half is going to be the thing start jiggling and shaking and cutting, you can cut a finger off. So it's very important that if you're going to use the tools, take the time to understand what they are. So most people would be fine if they did that. Unfortunately, most people don't. What many people will find from the new robo-advising world is that it's what I'm calling a gateway drug to financial planning. People that have never thought about planning in the past are now having ways that they go online and do basic planning. But as people's financial situation becomes more complex, they're going to realize that they need professional help, because no one program is going to be able to do that. And as you get older, there's going to be all sorts of things about whether it's insurance needs, whether it's estate planning needs, if you've been fortunate enough to have an estate that's large enough. Many times it's because you have a dependent that's counting on you, or you're in the sandwich generation and you know, something happens to you. You have elder parents that are counting on you and young children. Unfortunately, sometimes it's because you have a special needs child that needs to be taken care of. There are so many things that become, you know, so complex that basic planning only gets you so far. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite quotes, period, is from John Lennon. Life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans. So in many ways, the robo-advising and the robo-plan opportunities on the web are very good to a point. And it's up to you to be able to really understand when they're no longer good for you.
Mm-hmm. I do think it makes a lot of sense, and I think it's very important to remind everybody again what you said about that, because the messaging and communications, there are people out there really smart, and it's really easy to make a program that lures you in talking your language when it's not anything to do with what really you're trying to do as far as being responsible, have someone look out for you. So we're going to get to our quick break here. It's already 3:45 on May 13th. This is Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy, and you're listening to A Conversation with Colleen Kelly and also author Ken Kamen. We'll be right back.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming. Crime Stoppers of Hunterdon County and the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce are offering a free seminar, Keeping Your Business Safe, on Tuesday, April 28th at 5:30 at the Historic Courthouse in Flemington. This program will include a presentation by Prosecutor Anthony Kearns and then an in-depth discussion by the FBI about physical security and identity theft, followed by presentations on cloud security. Registration is free, but please visit www.crimestoppershunterdon.com or call 908-782-3909 to register today.
I'm Dave Lang with Insight Financial Services and a proud member of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. I believe that our participation in all of the opportunities that the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce offers to its members strongly contributes to our success.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Tired of the limitations of your small office shredder? Do you need to be compliant with federal regulations regarding the disposal of sensitive information? Are you concerned about identity theft? If so, then call AssureShred. AssureShred will provide your company customized on-site document destruction service that fulfills regulatory requirements and at the same time protects your organization from the consequences of the improper disposal of sensitive information. To obtain a free quote or to schedule an appointment, call AssureShred at 877-466-1566 today. That's 877-466-1566.
Are you interested in learning more about Hunterdon County? Are you interested in growing as a professional and as a leader? Then Leadership Hunterdon may be for you.
Hi, this is Chris Bianco, class of 2014 Leadership Hunterdon. Work with other local dedicated professionals to learn about the complexities and interconnectedness of Hunterdon County.
We invite you to visit one of our many upcoming sessions as we begin to recruit the class of 2016.
Learn from and connect with established business, government, and community leaders.
Leadership Hunterdon, an in-depth 9-month program offered by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce.
And honored via invitation to help Hunterdon County with its challenges and shape its future. These are just some of the virtues of being part of Leadership Hunterdon.
Contact us at 908-782-7115 or visit our website, HuntertonChamber.org, for more information today.
Welcome back to the show. This is Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. It is already 3:49 on May 13th. Hope you're having a great day again. Ken Kamen is in the studio with Colleen Gelly, and we're talking about his book and just everything about, he's the go-to guy on money in the markets. And one place that he's particularly strong is the analysis of the current stock market dynamics. All throughout the year, you're asked to come on some of the most popular, you know, financial shows to talk about that. So can you explain a little bit about your expertise in this area, about the analysis of the current stock market?
Well, I'd like to offer one correction. Mm-hmm. I don't think anybody's an expert. They say that all the time. But the reality of it, if anyone was an expert and knew what the markets were going to do tomorrow, they wouldn't be spending their time talking on television and running around, you know, trying to get people to believe them. So what I'll say about myself is that I spend a lot of time looking at the markets to develop an opinion, because the most important thing about investing is to have a point of view, mm-hmm. to have some consistency of process, because the most damaging thing you could have, or not have, if you will, is a process that you're going to follow when things get rocky. On the break, you were asking me during 2008, were everyone panicking? Well, if you have a sound plan, and you have buffers built in and shock absorbers, you know, built in, and you own some things that zig when other things zag, yeah, you're going to go down. And, you know, maybe if the market was down 40% and you're only down 20%, you're going to go, wow, I didn't get hurt as much as everybody else. And let's face it, no one's thrilled about being down 20%. But those shock absorbers really become the key to your financial future. Because when you think about things intuitively, the key to long-term wealth is to just not lose it in the short term. And it sounds glib, but think about this. If you lose 50% on an investment, it needs to come back 100% for you to break even before you could start making money. So the key to long-term wealth is to just try to, you know, keep the dips from being too low. You know, we want all the upside that we can get, but you need to have a good methodology that you're going to try to dampen out some of that volatility. So to directly answer your question, I spend a lot of time looking and thinking about, you know, United States and global markets, various sectors in the market, to be able to prosecute, if you will, my thesis on investing, which is diversification is key. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. Keep an eye on what's happening globally. Right now, to just put a little current events into it, you know, we've been coming off of 6 years of basically zero interest rates. Mm-hmm. That's uncharted territory. Everyone that's been saving knows they earn no money on savings. We're all nervously waiting to see when the Fed is going to start raising interest rates again. And the dollar is becoming very, very strong, because overseas they're doing all that quantitative easing that we did 5 years ago, making their currencies weaker. So that has huge portfolio implications. Maybe you don't want to be so exposed in fixed income items, because when interest rates go up, bond prices come down. We can do a whole show just on that. Mm-hmm. You know, you might want to look at various sectors. Large, big, multinational companies now might be getting hurt by the strong dollar, as the sale of their products are less attractive overseas because of the strong dollar. But small companies who have very little or relatively little exposure to revenues from overseas aren't going to be affected as bad, but they have a lot of their input costs. In other words, the costs of the widgets that go into their products come from overseas. Mm-hmm. So small companies might actually benefit from the current environment that we're in. So I spend a lot of time trying to look at markets and global markets to kind of think about moving the pieces around the chessboard for clients. And that's what I'm called on a lot to comment on quite regular basis. As I said earlier, because I try my best to demystify it, not make it this Wall Street wonky speak.
Mm-hmm. Which everybody, I'm sure, appreciates as much as I do.
If the information is not usable, then I think it's irrelevant. Mm-hmm. It's Charlie Brown's wah, 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 wah. And most of what goes on financial television, in my opinion, is wah, 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 wah. But I'm not being so egotistical to believe that mine isn't wah, 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 some other version of that to many people. But I try to do my best to get more people to kind of look at things in a more basic way.
What do you say out there to students or graduates coming up in the season that are going to consider going into a wealth management position?
I think it's an absolute growth industry. I can tell you that I've never seen a young kid ring my doorbell at Halloween dressed up as a financial advisor. So it's never really the dream of any young, you know, kid to become a financial advisor. But it is absolutely a fabulous profession, one that is going to be needed more and more as we live longer and longer. And as I said earlier, you know, our working years are going to get extended, and we're going to need to have our money work for us. And one of the realities is that, you know, if you're successful at it, your money could work harder for you than you could ever work. You know, and having the idea that you're going to come into a profession that helps people think about those things is absolutely a growth industry. And being the father of two girls, I'm always discussing this with my daughters and any young lady that would listen. There is such a dearth of women in this industry, and I don't know why, because women are so suited for this industry. I know they're better listeners than I am. And you know, the wealth in this country is really controlled by women. That's not a secret. Everyone knows that. So I think it's a fabulous field. And I urge any young lady that's trying to decide what they want to do, don't get lost in the idea that the financial services industry is all about math. At its core, the financial services industry is about people. And it's about helping people meet their needs. And it's about helping people sleep at night. And it's about helping people make sure that the lives that they want to live, they have the best chance of doing that. And that's a great profession, and it's why I love doing what I do.
How long have you done it?
I started in 1980. I started in the brokerage business interning in college, cold calling, disturbing people during dinner. Hello, my name is. And I kind of grew up in... built, this is now my second firm. My first firm, Princeton Securities, I started in 1988 and was fortunate enough to have someone buy it for me in early 2000. And then I purposely sold that because I had built a transactional-based brokerage firm. And if you remember back in late 1999, not only was it a bubble, but it was the birth of discount brokerage and Charles Schwab. And the narrative on television was the only way to become a millionaire was not pay a lot in commissions. So I figured I had built one of those. Maybe, you know, people were looking to buy them. It would be a good time to sell, because I wanted to really build a business that was built around helping people with their entire financial life, not just giving them the stock of the day. And that's why I joined Mercadian, because Mercadian is certainly a very well-known accounting firm. They've been around for 50 years in the Mercer County area. And I really like the idea of being able to take what I do with markets and marry it up with deep financial planning skills. So at the risk of sounding like a commercial, the reality of what I wanted to build, I was able to find by teaming up with Mercadian, because they have experts there that have deep knowledge on so many personal finance things, whether it's cross-border money issues, inheritance issues, elaborate tax issues, estate issues. And Mercadian Asset Management brings to that the financial wealth management piece of it. So I believe that we have a very good planning platform and a wealth management platform. And I got to it by really always working with individuals. I started with bothering them during their dinner hour. And maybe I still do that to this day, because I come to them on their TV screens and they have to turn it down while they're eating dinner. But either way, it's always been dealing with individuals. I'm not a back office kind of guy, you know, that just sits in the back working in the research department with a green eye shade on.
That's so great. Well, we thank you so much for being on the show today. We are excited about following you along. Colleen, what's the Twitter handle if anyone wants to follow Ken? It's at Kenneth Kamen,
right.
K-E-N-N-E-T-H-K-A-M-E-N. And you can also look up his book online, Reclaim Your Nest Egg, and then you can see him on television just about any time something's interesting and going on, as it always is, in the money marketplace. Ken, thanks again for being here.
It's been a pleasure being here. Thank you.
We loved having you. All right, everybody, stand by for our second hour. We're going to be going to FEMA again. They're coming back to talk about some preservation in the state of New Jersey and how it's important to everyone. We'll be right back. And again, thank you, Ken.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. The death toll is now at 7 in the deadly Amtrak train crash in Philadelphia. Passenger Jeffrey Cutler says it seemed like the train was going fast around a curve.
I'm not in a position to allege that it was abnormal or unsafe speed, but it did feel fast. And without that speed, I don't think we would have felt that liftoff.
National Transportation Safety Board spokesman Robert Sumwald says the investigators are looking into several factors.
At the track, the train signals, the operation of the train, the mechanical condition of the train, human performance.
The train's black box has been recovered. President Obama welcomed Saudi Arabian leaders to the White House for discussions on Iran. He says the Saudis have been key partners in battling terror groups.
Absolutely critical not only to maintaining stability in the region, but also protecting the American people.
They will also discuss the crisis in Yemen. This is USA Headline News.
A few days ago, Brooke Tudine posted an inspirational quote on her wall that got 17 likes and 3 comments. Thumbs up, Brooke. Geico also wants to make a comment. In just 15 minutes, you could save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance by switching to Geico. And nothing says inspiration better than saving money. Well, except for those posters that say things like teamwork, excellence, and make it happen.